priorities in our lives will define who we are. Got quiet. So how do we know what our priorities are? There's a great question that is asked right off the top of the weekend in the Emmaus or great banquet weekends. I know a lot of you have been on these three-day retreat weekends, spiritual retreats, Kokomo Great Banquet, Curcio, what's the other? Awakening, the Emmaus, what is it? Yes. Yeah. And basically, that first talk that's given is on priorities. And there's three questions that are posed in that first talk. And they ask you right off the top of the weekend so that you're thinking about it from the very get-go. And those questions are, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? And how do you spend your thought life? Time, money, and thought life. Those will define your priorities. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? So what defines you? Is it Delphi? I hope not. Is it Chrysler? I have to repeat that again. I hope not. Is it your job? Your home? Your 401k? Your girlfriends? Your cars? How many cars you got? How many two-car, three-car garages? Is it the neighborhood you live in? Your hobbies? I could go on and on. Is that what defines you? Well, I believe, and especially after praying about it and reading chapter 14 several times, the answer for me is, and I hope for you, is relationships. And that's what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about today, is our relationships. I think every talk this semester, if we were to go back and re-listen or think about each talk, has alluded to that fact that relationships are the most important thing. They are the priority. So again, what defines you? There's two scriptures I want to focus on. Matthew 22:37 and 22:39. One of the experts in the law is asking Christ, what's the greatest commandment, or what do I need to do to have eternal life? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Relationships. And then verse 29 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, priority. What defines you? What are your priorities? What separates us as Christians from the rest of the world? Or all other religions? Let's put it that way. What separates us as Christians from all other religions? Anybody got a clue on that? I'm going to tell you. It's about the centrality of relationships. And I'm going to prove it to you. These two scriptures alone, he's talking about our vertical relationship with God. First priority. Secondly, our horizontal relationship with those we come across here on the planet in our time on the earth. Vertical and horizontal. In the center of that is the heart of Christ. So what defines you? What's at the center of your being? I'm going to challenge you today from a scripture. And this is on the outline, but I want to read it. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the reason I want to read it is because I want you to find yourself in this story. Because I think there's three basic responses that we can choose in terms of our priorities and our relationships from this story. And again, it starts out with these same two verses, and I want to repeat them so that we have them on our hearts and minds. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, and how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But get this, he wanted to justify himself. Anybody here guilty of wanting to justify themselves today? Anybody willing to admit it? I will. I'll share a couple of stories here later, but I can't justify my behavior. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, or Kokomo to Indianapolis, or wherever, to Marion, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest just happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So what defines you? Which of these 3 describe you? Because I believe that how we treat and how we serve others is the way that we see ourselves. And more importantly, it shows what our vertical relationship with God is really all about. Somebody say amen. Maybe you didn't hear it. How we treat and serve others is the way that we see ourselves. And more importantly, it shows what our vertical relationship with God is really alike. Now, we can put on all kinds of fronts and justify our behaviors and do all kinds of wonderful things, or we think are wonderful things. But the bottom line is, what kind of relationship we have with God will be revealed by how we treat our fellow human beings. So then the question is, my friends, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Now, am I talking about the guy next door? Maybe. Who is this religious leader, the priest? Why did he cross by and go on the other side of the street? He did the walk on by. That's a song from the 70s. Too busy. Too many important things to do. Got to get to the church meeting. He sees this troubled man as a problem to avoid. I might be defiled. Robbers might get me. See, the Levite, much like the religious leader, the priest, was busy. He was on his way to get a job done, to do something. Too busy with policies and procedures. Got business to take care of. Who's that sound like? Paul? Paul, remember a few weeks ago I came to you and confessed? See, sometimes we do these talks and that's when God really works on us and the stuff that we've done and the mistakes we've made and the things we try to justify. About a month ago, I came through that door and it was one of those days when somebody wonderful had provided food. I had my hands full of hot food. Paul said, Chuck, would you come with me and pray? Oh man, I got this hot food. Now you know what? It is funny. But I bailed. I failed and I bailed, didn't I, Paul? But you know what? God convicted me right there on the spot. And I said, I need to make amends for that. And I'm not going to let that happen again. I don't care if the food is hot and it's great. And it usually is. I made a decision right then and there that I needed to apologize and make amends. And I think I came to you pretty quick. And of course, Paul was very kind and considerate and he encouraged me. But I needed forgiveness because I failed. I felt that I failed and I felt convicted to confess that. Relationships. More important than food, right? More important than the meeting to get to. That's what I'm trying to make the point is. What's really more important? What defines you? You know, and to have that relationship, we have to take time to build the relationship. And I don't know what that means for you, but some of the things I jotted down were time, giving of our time, in worship, in prayer, Bible study, small groups, sharing, being transparent in a small group, confessing our sins immediately. You know, those kind of things. And having a right relationship with God, loving Him first, putting Him first. And then we'll see the results in our relationships on the horizontal level. Well, the Samaritan was one of the despised. He stopped. You know why? Because he could empathize. Can you empathize? Does that define you? Are you able to empathize with your fellow men, fellow human beings? You see, he felt that he knew how it was to be ignored as a Samaritan, to be despised, to be unheard, or to not be seen. He saw this man as someone that needed to be loved, needed to be cared for, needed to be given hope and encouragement. What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not about going to church 3 times a week. Yeah, that's important. But it's not about missing Sunday school, or missing your small group, or missing huddle, or never missing them. These are important, I agree. But it's application. You know, Taft and I were talking about this a few weeks back. I don't know if you remember. We were on a road trip to a basketball game somewhere. And I said, you know, we're talking about huddle and just the great talks and hearing all the great things. But do we leave here and just, man, that felt good. You know, I felt good hearing that talk today. Or do we actually go out and begin to apply what we hear? You know, are we walking or are we just talking? That defines who we are. Are we just talking about it? Are we just walking out of here and feeling good? I mean, that's okay if that's what works for you, but I'm asking you to dig deeper. I'm asking you to define and figure out what defines you. You see, what will happen is the world will know who we are and what our priorities are by how we handle our relationships. Did you hear that? The world will know who we are and what we are about by our relationships being the priority and how we handle those relationships and how we love one another. Which of these three was a neighbor to the man? Which of these three responses best fit you? It's easy to love those that know us and love us, but can we love those that aren't lovable? If we have to cross over on the other side of the street, if we have to go into a neighborhood maybe that's not a safe or a favorable neighborhood that we might like. There's a great movie, and I'm going to close. I want to give you guys plenty of time to talk because it's about relationships. The priority is not me talking, but relationships, starting right here at your tables and praying for one another, lifting each other up, encouraging one another. Anybody seen the movie Antoine Fisher? A couple? I'm going to tell you what. I can't watch that movie without breaking. It breaks my heart. Partly because of my own stuff. Partly because I know there's a lot of young men that need fathers that don't have them. In this movie, Antoine Fisher, it's a true story, writes a poem to his therapist that's played by Denzel Washington. Great movie if you haven't seen it. I heard this poem, I bawled like a baby. It broke my heart because I thought, man, that's tough. Who will cry for the little boy lost and all alone? Who will cry for the little boy abandoned without his own? Who will cry for the little boy? He cried himself to sleep. Who will cry for the little boy? He never had for keeps. Who will cry for the little boy? The boy inside the man. Who will cry for the little boy? Who knows well hurt and pain? Who will cry for the little boy? He died and died again. Who will cry for the little boy? A good boy he tried to be. Who will cry for the little boy who cries inside of me? What defines you, my friends? God bless you.